Oh boy, well, tomorrow's a big day. Tonight's the night. I remember being so excited on Christmas Eve. Did y'all do that? I mean, you vibrate. You can hardly go to sleep. You just kind of lay there and stare at the ceiling. Later on, I kind of figured out that if I could go to sleep, that made the night pass faster, and then the day would get there that much earlier. Of course, I got up earlier then, and my parents didn't appreciate those 4 o'clock wake-up calls when I went down there. Well, that must be my wake-up call now. we all have these wonderful memories of Christmas morning and go down there. When I was, I guess when I was 5 years old, we lived in Colorado, and got up Christmas morning and staggered into the living room, and my parents had bought this Christmas tree that filled up the entire corner of the living room, and the presents started at the ceiling, I kid you not, and just cascaded down into the floor. And we spent, I think, almost all day unwrapping stuff. It was the most magical kind of storybook Hollywood kind of Christmas, and absolutely ruined us because we expected every Christmas to be like that from then on. You know, it never was again. That was the one and only time. I think my parents learned their lesson there. We're not going to do that anymore. But I don't know. There's just so much anticipation. You get so excited about. When you're a little kid, you get so excited about getting up in the morning and getting up there, unwrapping all the presents and seeing all the good stuff. And anticipation is always the key. In our daily Bible reading over this past week, we've been reading in the Psalms. And the schedule has us in a group of Psalms that are called Songs of Ascent, going up from Psalm 120 to 134. These are songs of going up, and probably had to do with the pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for worship. One of the big worship days, maybe Passover. And as they're traveling, you come to this section of road, you got to go from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's about 3,000 feet, and you just go up, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth on this road. And it'd be a whole lot nicer to sing while you're going, and so these psalms were probably pulled together as kind of marching songs for people. One of the psalms that we read was Psalm 130. And 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." I love that line, "more than watchmen wait for the morning," repeated in there. If you've been in the military, you know what that's about. I had to stand the 4-to-8 watch at different times, and the 4-to-8 watch in the morning is the longest possible watch. It just goes on and on and on. No one is awake, nothing is happening, and it just drags. It's horrible. It's the worst watch of all. And you have a lot of anticipation. You want to get out of there, have done with it, and move on. And that's the way the psalmist talks about waiting for God. We wait and we wait and we wait, and we just can't wait for him to come and redeem us. We have these songs of ascents. And I don't know if you noticed, in the very first song that we sang this evening, there's a little caption that goes with it from Psalm 122. "I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Somehow we don't find it all that exciting to come to worship, do we? I mean, it was just not pulse-pounding excitement to come in and worship God. Not like these people. They seemed really to get excited about the opportunity to go to Jerusalem. We have to put yourself in their sandals for a minute. Kind of think about how they lived. It was a once-a-year event. It only came once a year that they could go up to Jerusalem. That's a long trip and difficult. When they got there, it's a big joyous celebration. You have big family time. There'd be reunions with old friends and old acquaintances and maybe some school buddies. I don't know, but there'd be, it would just be a big celebration. And it was an annual reminder of God, the God who freed them and made them a people. And they could approach His throne in the temple. They always knew that God was with them everywhere they were, but that was the house of God, and He was always going to be home there. There was just something terribly exciting about getting there and approaching God. It's very much like our holiday celebrations, isn't it? Once a year, we get all the family together, and you have these reunions, and you see people that you haven't seen for a long time, and you get to think about some spiritual topics that just kind of elude us through the rest of the year. We don't think very much about the birth of Jesus and His life. And we commemorate His death, His burial, His resurrection from the dead every Lord's Day when we participate in the Lord's Supper. But we don't think much about His birth because kind of in our minds, that's just a prelude to the real story. You know, the real story is about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. These people, as they walked along and made their way toward Jerusalem, they would sing, make it a lot more enjoyable, help people pass the time on their way to Jerusalem. But they looked forward to the entrance to the city. When you finally came over that last crest of the hill, and there is the city in front of you. And it's the end of the journey. It's, you know, at that point you can quit and you can walk on in, and it's the beginning of the celebration. No more preparation, no more travel, no more hardship. The journey is at an end and it's time for celebration. And there are a lot of people who are looking forward to the celebration tomorrow morning. The journey is at an end. They've got all the shopping done. They've got all the preparations made. The food is bought. Everything's ready. The family's in. Everything is ready to go. If we could just go ahead and start this thing up, and we've got to wait till tomorrow morning. Well, as much fun as we're going to have tomorrow, we really look forward to the end of our journey and the beginning of our eternal celebration as we enter the presence of God. Kind of come over that last hill, and there is the heavenly city in front of us, waiting to receive us, and that's where the party really begins. And I think the closer we get to that, the more the anticipation mounts. We get closer and closer to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4 says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. And I think tomorrow's a time to laugh. Have a really good time to enjoy the family, the time that you're with them. I want everybody to have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy all the time you have with them. Keep up the anticipation. Now, you know, it's not over. That's just a day of celebration for us. It's not an eternal celebration. There's a lot more to come. Back in Psalm 130, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. That is a wonderful, wonderful promise. He Himself will redeem all Israel from their sins. And that promise came true when Jesus of Nazareth was born, lived among us, died as a sacrifice for our sins, and offers us the opportunity, the rare, unspeakable, and absolutely unique gift of grace, so that we can be saved and be with Him in eternity. The story about the birth of Jesus, as we talked about this morning, is really a story about God's love. It's about how much He has loved us and how He has poured Himself into redeeming us. Do you have any anticipation about that? Can you just almost taste it? Even more than waking up tomorrow and tearing into all the wrapping paper and watching the kids, just have a wonderful time with it. Do you anticipate the great celebration that's to be ours in eternity? Every time we gather, we sing an invitation song. We're going to do that again because the promise, you see, the promise of the greatest gift of all has come true in Christ. The opportunity for redemption is ours in Jesus. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel tonight and become a Christian. If you are a Christian, you have made the covenant with Christ in the past, but you really haven't lived for Him, haven't lived with Him, haven't really cared about doing His will. You probably have forgotten that He died so that you could live. And you need to repent and come back to Him and truly live for Him. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now. While we stand together and sing a song.